We begin the current daf in Masechta Yevamah, Mistaf Ayin Tes. We begin 15 lines down from the top of the Yamin. The Gemara continues and concludes the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara brought in an incident with David HaMelech and the Gevainim as a source for the halacha of our Mishnah that the Gevainim, the Nesinim, are forbidden to enter the Kehillah of Klal Yisrael forever, for eternity. And the reason is, as the Gemara had brought, because one of the reasons why there was a drought for 3 years at the end of David HaMelech's lifetime was because that Shaul HaMelech had killed out the city of Noivir HaKahanim, which thus caused the Nesinim not to have any food, because the Kahanim had provided them food. And because of that, there was a retribution for that. David HaMelech tried appeasing them for what Shaul HaMelech had done, and they didn't want to be appeased until they had blood, until they were able to kill some of the descendants of Shaul HaMelech. David HaMelech saw that they're achzorim, they don't have the attribute of Rachmanis, and that's one of the three primary characteristics of the Jewish people. And he said, these people are not fit to assimilate and marry into the Jewish people. And that's why the Gevainim became forbidden for eternity because of David HaMelech's Gezer. Now, the Gemara concludes that discussion according to Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which talks about that David HaMelech had to concede to their requirements because that was what Hashem had said, that he has to appease the Gevainim and they weren't being appeased without blood. So the Pasuk tells us, V'yikach HaMelech eshnei b'nei Ritzpah b'asayah. So the king, David HaMelech, took the two sons of Ritzpah, the daughter of Ayah, Ashiyod L'Shal, which was given birth to Shal, which was this Armoni ves Mifi Baishas, and ves Chameshas b'nei Michal b'Shal, so there's 2 plus 5, that's 7, Ashiyod L'Adriel ben Barzile HaMachilasi. So these were the 7 that were chosen to be hung by the Gevainim as an atonement for what Shal HaMelech had done to them. So the Gemara asked Maishna Hani, why did he choose these 7? So Rav Huna, he didn't choose. Hedim lefnei Aron, he passed them by, all the descendants of Shaul in front of the ark. Kol Sha'aron Koltei, whichever descendants the Aron held onto, Lamisa was a sign that they were the one to be killed. Kol Sha'in Aron Koltei L'chaim, whoever the ark did not hold onto, it was a sign that this person could continue living. Now that must have Rav Bar Ketina, but the Pasuk tells us, it says that the king, David HaMelech, had mercy on Mephibosheth, who that was the different Mephibosheth, the son of Yohanes and the son of Shaul. Now, if it was based on the criteria of the Aaron holding on to it, so what do you mean? Since, as we see, that the Aaron didn't hold on to him, so what does it say because of the mercy that David HaMelech had onto him has nothing to do with the mercy of David? It depended if the Aaron held on to it or not. So the Gemara answers, what it means that David HaMelech had mercy on this Mephibosheth was Shaloi Heviroi. He didn't have him from those of the descendants to pass by. Now the Gemara asks, B'chimasi ponim yesh b'davar, is this an element that David HaMelech could show favoritism regarding life and death? He should have passed all of them, even Mephibosheth, even if he had mercy on him. There are others that are going to die. So the Gemara says, you're right. It obviously couldn't be that he didn't have him passed by the Aron. El Shev Viroi v'kolter. You're right, he passed him by, but the Aaron held on to him. But he beseeched mercy on him, and then the Aaron let him go. But the Gemara still asks, is there still favoritism? How does that make sense? Since the Aaron held on to him, so it's not appropriate that he should let him go and have someone else die in this place, because somebody's going to die to fill the quota of the 7 people. So the Gemara concludes, what does it mean? Yes, it was based on the criteria of the Aaron holding on to the person. He beseeched mercy that the Aaron should not hold on to him, and it was Bechamlasa Shal David that had his tefillah answered that the Aaron didn't hold on to him, but rather to someone else. Now the Gemara asked a general question regarding this whole incident, that the Gevainim were upset what Shaul HaMelech had done, and because of that, Shaul's descendants died. But Vaksiv, there's a pasuk in Devarim that says, Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim Egoimer, that fathers don't die for the sins of the sons, as the pasuk concludes, uvanim lo yumsal avos, and the sons don't die for the father's sins. Rather, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Dal Tes Ayin, ish becheto yumasu, everybody dies in their own sins. So how could we have that descendants of Shaul will die for a sin that Shaul HaMelech did? So Mechir Barabba Amar Yechanan, he says, you're right, but mutiv sheti oker beis achas min ha-tayr, better let there be uprooted one letter from the Torah, in other words, a reference to, although the pasuk seems to be indicating that this never happens, Better let it happen that it will be exclusionary to this pasuk, and that it shouldn't be a public desecration of God's name. And that is because the nations of the world are going to say, Jewish people are not a good people to come close to. Because you see that they did something which was wrong to converts, and because they took away their source of nourishment by killing out Noivir HaKahanim, and no one did any revenge, no one did any retribution. and therefore it's worth it that the descendants of Shaul should be punished for his misdeed, so that there shouldn't be a public desecration of God's name. Now, it says over there in the Pasuk, Matikach Ritzpah Basaya Esasak, so Ritzpah Basaya, who she had her sons killed in this incident, so she took the sackcloth, V'tateyu lo el atzor, and she spread it onto the rock, Mitchilas Kitzir ad Nosach Mayim Aleim Neshmayim, from the beginning of the reaping season, up until when water started dripping from heaven, and that is, up until the rain season, from all the way before, these people that were hung weren't buried. And so therefore she did this, that so that the birds from the skies shouldn't be able to rest on these on the corpses during the day, and that the animals should not pounce upon them by the nighttime. Now the Gemara asks, but there's a passage in the Bible that says, that the person that was hung, his corpse should not be hanging on the wood overnight. That is, you have to bury him. So how can we have here for this long period of time that they're just laying there on the ground? So again, the same idea the Gemara says. Better let there be uprooted even one letter from the Torah, which in this case, a halacha of that you shouldn't be sullen, let it be overnight. And that it should be a public consecration of God's name. And that is as follows. Because those passerbys would say, Mativin Shalela, what are these bodies just laying over here? So they would answer them, Halolu b'nei malachim heim, these are princes, sons of kings that are laying here. Ma'asu, what did they do? So they would answer, Pashtu yudeim begim groom. They stretched out their hand, in other words, they did a misdeed, to lowly converts. So Amr, the people that passed by would say, wow, Ein lecha uma sheru lehidavik bazeh kazu. There's no greater nation than the Jewish people to attach like this people. Because of Ma b'nei malachim kach, if look at what they did to princes, b'nei had yoytas alachas kama v'kama, regular people for sure, who knows what they would do. And moreover, Ma gim gurum kach, if what they had done wrong was just to lowly converts, Yisrael alachas kama v'kama, all the more so to regular full-fledged Jews, what the punishment would be. Because here we have the Gevayim that weren't even regular converts, they were just chayt ve'etzim and shayvimayim. So miyad nitaisu al Yisrael meyav hamishim alaf. So they're increased upon the Jewish people 150,000 converts because everyone was flocking to the Jewish people, seeing how great their standards are. Like it says, the pasuk melech malaf says vehila shleima was for shleima hamelech 70,000 naisisav. He had 70,000 people that were able to carry burdens. Ushmoinim alaf chaytzav bahar, and he had 80,000 people that were able to work in the quarries in the mountains. Now, the Gemara asks, how do you know those were converts of a dimly Yisrael Habba? Maybe they were just regular Jewish people. But the Gemara says, he can't entertain that. Because the Chassid says, the Pasuk Melachim Aleph says, Umemnegi Yisrael, from the Jewish people, Lainosin Shleima Oved. Shleima Melach didn't use any of them in his work. So it must be from converts. So the Gemara says, but Vedimla de Geizar Ba'alma, maybe it's just hired workers. So it wasn't Jewish people, but maybe he hired them. It wasn't Eved. No one was serving him. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elam Halcha, rather, it's from a Pasuk in Divrei Yamin Beis. It says, "Vayisper Shleima kol ha'anoshim hagir mashu be'eretz Yisrael v'gamer." Shleima Melch counted all the men that were converts in the Jewish land. Vayimotzu meyav v'chamishim elef v'gamer, and he found them to be 150,000. And vayas mehem shivim elef savul. He made from them 70,000 carriers. Ushmainim elef chaytzabar, and made 80,000 of them those that worked in cutting off pieces from the mountain. So therefore, that's again because of this great Kiddush Hashem that happened, that they punished the children of Shaul, even though the halachas are that generally a child should not be punished for the punishments of the fathers, and moreover, shouldn't be left overnight. Now the Gemara asks a general question regarding this halacha, which started on the previous daf, regarding the Nesinim, that we said that it was David HaMelech that made this gezer because they weren't Rachmanim. But the Gemara says, Nesinim David Gazar Aleim, is it really true that David had made this decree to make them forbidden love of Bakal, as we said in our Mishnah on the previous daf? But Moshe Gazalim, it was Moshe Rabbeinu already that made this decree. The Chassid, like it says in Pasuk in Devarim, says when the Torah was given in front of all the people, so it goes through all the categories, and it says even Mechayte Veitzecha Atroiv Mimecha, from the woodchoppers to the water carriers. Now, from the fact that it's set as a separate category, obviously that they're not included in the Klal of Yisrael, and they're not even in the category of Gerim, but rather they're like Avodim, like slaves, and deficient Avodim. And that's because the Gevoinim were Chaitvei Eitzim, and that's where Yehoshua had made them, because of the subterfuge they used to become Gerim. So we see that already this Gezerah of whoever is made into Chaitvei Eitzim, Shevimayim, Moshe Rabbeinu already said they're not part of the Kehillah Jewish people. So why are we saying that David HaMelech made this Gezerah? Especially since Yeshua had already made the Nesinim into these Chaitvei Eitzim, Shevimayim, which is already a category that Moshe Rabbeinu already made. So I think my answer is Moshe Gazla Hudar. Moshe Rabbeinu only made for his own generation, whoever were considered in these Chaitvei Eitzim and his days, said you're a separate category, you're not Mutar Lavi Bakal. Now David Gazla Kuladar, but David HaMelech made a Gezerah for all generations, whoever is in this category that we don't allow into the Kehillah, but rather Chaitvei Eitzim Shevimayim, they're not allowed to marry anyone in the Kehillah. Now the Gemara still asks, Vakat Yeshua Gazla Lai, but it wasn't David, it was Yeshua. The Pesuk says the person Yeshua says Vayitnam Yeshua Bayemahu, that Yeshua made these people, the Nesinim from the Givinim, Chaitvei Eitzim Shevimayim. They were called Nesinim because this is actually because it says Vayitnam, that he went and placed them into wood choppers and water carriers, La'eda Ulam Mizbeach Hashem, for the people and for the Mizbeach of Hashem. Now obviously that they're considered Avodim, and that is Yeshua was doing for future generations, as the Pasuk says over there in Yeshua Paraktas, La'yuchis Mikem Chaitvei Eitzim, that forever, for eternity, will not be taken away from you, that you'll be Chaitvei Eitzim. So you see, they're never going to be able to be entering the Kehillah of Hashem, so it's not David, it was Yeshua. So the Gemara answers, Yeshua gozeb ezman shebeis hamikdash kaim. You're right, Yeshua made it for eternity, but as long as the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. As the Pasuk actually says, it was l'mizbach Hashem. David gozer bezman shein Beis HaMikdash kaim. David, however, continued that gezerah and said, even when there's no more Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be a prohibition of the Nesinim joining and marrying into the Kehillah of the Jewish people. Now the Gemara actually continues on the Beis, that Bimei Rabbi, Bikshu Lahat HaNesinim, in the days of Yehuda HaNasi, they attempted to permit the Nesinim to marry into the Jewish people. Now, Taisa says, although generally there's halacha that a later Bezdin cannot nullify a previous Bezdin, and Rebbe's time is not bigger than David HaMelech's time, here it's not coming from being Mevatel Divrei Bezdin Chaveroi, rather it's based on the halacha of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that they could just declare only certain properties, and therefore they would say that they're like Avadim, we could be mafker the ownership of the people of these Gevinim being considered as Avadim, and then they'll be like Bnei Charan, which is like full-fledged Jewish people. However, Amalem Rebbe, but Rebbe said to the people, Chalkeinu Nater, the most we could do is we could permit our portion. As we said, based on, as the Gemara will tell us on the Peites Amad Beis, that Bezdin could permit and be mafker the portion of the Jewish people that they have over these Nesinim, who are the slaves, basically, of the Jewish people, based on Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. B'chelik Mizbeach Miyater, could we permit the portion of the Mizbeach of Hashem? That we can't permit. We can't do a Hefker, Bezdin on what Hashem's, so to speak, ownership rights are on them. And therefore, they're still going to be Avadim, even though not to us anymore, but still to Hashem, and therefore they're still going to be considered Chaitvei Eitzim Shevimayim from Mizbeach Hashem, and we can't permit that portion. Now, on that, the Gemara says that this that Rebbe said, that the Chelik Mizbeach, we can't be Matir, even though in the days of Rebbe there was no more Mizbeach, still he's saying that the Chelik Mizbeach is going to make them forbidden as Chaitvei Eitzim Shevimayim. And that the Gemara says, Upligid Reb Chiya Bar Abba. On this part, Rebbe argues Reb Chiya Bar Abba. The Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Reb Yechanan, he says, Chelik Eidu Lo'ilam Asim. That part of the assembly, meaning the Jewish people's rights in these Chaitvei Eitzim Shevimayim, is forever forbidden until they permit it, like they wanted to do in the days of Rebbe. Chelik Mizbeach, the portion of that they are Meshubid, they're indebted as slaves to the Mizbeach, to Hashem, is only Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaim Aser, because that's when it applies. Ein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, sorry, but if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then it would be permitted, and therefore essentially, according to Chibra Abba, in the days of Rebbe, they could have permitted it, because there's no more portion of the Mizbeach, and the portion of the Jewish people, they could do as Hefker Bezdin Hefker, but on that, Rebbe argued and held that the Chelik Mizbeach is still there, even after the Beis HaMikdash is not around. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of a previous Mishnah regarding an element of Pitzua Daka. But here we're talking about, not necessarily as that previous Mishnah had been spoken about, regarding a Psul of Kahal, where the Pasuk says a Pitzua Daka is lo yovet b'kal, cannot enter in b'kal Hashem. But rather here it's actually more specific to this Mesechta regarding the Alochas of Yib and Chalitza. So Amar B'Shubashua said, Shamati Shahasris Chalitza. Rabbi Yeshua says, and he says this in another Mishnah elsewhere, that he says a certain statement that I heard, but I don't know exactly how to define it, because he heard two contradictory statements. He says, I heard Shasris Chaylet, that a Sris, a man that is sterile, he can do chalitza, and v'chotzen le'ishtoi, that is when he dies, they could do chalitza to his wife. But I also heard, fastrus lo'ichalitz, that a man that's sterile cannot do chalitza, and v'lo'ichalitzen le'ishtoi, and they cannot do chalitza to his wife. Now that is because the pasuk says, le'imachish shmoy mi'israel, the reason why the brothers of a man that dies have to do yibim is so that the one who died should not have his name erased because he doesn't have any children to take over his name. But that excludes a sris that anyway his name was going to be erased because he couldn't have children because he's sterile anyway. Now, but however, Rabbi Shua says, v'ein lefarish. It says, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know which one is the one of a sris that is a ben chalitza and which one is the sris that's pater from chalitza. Now, that the Gemara has a machlekes regarding what type of a sris. That is, there's two types of sris. And again, we're talking about a basic category, which the Torah mentions already, a petzua daka, again, which is someone that's crushed testicles or krei shavcho, or his member has been cut, where he doesn't have the ability to father children. Now, the pasuk is talking about regarding that they can't marry any Jewish woman. Here we're talking about specifically in the context of Ibn Chalitza. However, there's a machlekes in our mission regarding what type of a sris. There's a sris adam and there's a sris chama. Sris adam is someone that was castrated, that was became sterile through the act of man. And then there's sris chama, which is congenital, which means that he was born, that he was already sterile. Now, there's a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, which one of them would be the one that is chaltzin and chaltzin le'ishtoi, and which one is the one that loy ein chaltzin and ein chaltzin le'ishtoi. So I'm Rabbi Akiva says, ani farsh. He says, look, I'll explain which one is which. Sris Adam, someone that was castrated, that became sterile after he was born by mankind, well, then chaylitz, then that type of a sris can do chalitza. Now, as will be explained, he can't do yibum, because a sris adam, when the pasuk says that a betzu daka, someone that has crushed testicles or that his member has been cut, that's a reference to what's called a sris adam, because as actually a sris chama, as we explained in the previous daf, which he was born like that, although it's crushed or that it's cut, he's actually not forbidden to marry into the kal. But a sris adam is, so he's the classic petzu daka, so he can't do yibum, because that would be forbidden based on and marrying any Jewish woman. However, that doesn't impact his ability, as will be explained, of yibum and chalitza. So you can't do yibum because that's cohabitation, which is forbidden with any Jewish woman, but he could do chalitza. And v'chotzen le'ishtoi, his brothers could do chalitza to his wife. Now, actually the halacha is they could even do yibum to his wife, but Taisus and the Gemara explains some of these elements that it's to keep the uniformity of the halacha of chalitza, so we say chotzen le'ishtoi. But the truth is, he's actually, there's no prohibition of the brothers doing also yibim to his wife. And the qualification of this halacha, again, is based on two different requirements. There's two elements regarding this sris. Again, whether it's a sris chamo or a sris adamel, we'll see the two explanations done in the Mishnah. There's two elements, one when he's the yavam or when he's the mes, the brother that died. Regarding the element of if he's the brother that died, so then it's if lo yimachesh shmoy miyisrael. Do we consider him someone that we don't want his name as erased, meaning that there was an ability to have his name not erased when he was alive? That's as Rabbi Akiva concludes, when they shalish lishas akasher. There was a moment when he was able to have children. So therefore, there is an element of his brother coming to, so to speak, save his name from being erased, because he wasn't a sris from birth, so he could have had a child. So therefore, it does apply lo yimachesh shmoy miyisrael. And the same thing is the other way too. Regarding him doing chalitza for his brother, where that's a different halacha, as the Gemara explained, of l'hokum la'och of shame, which is to make sure that he can take over his brother's inability to have children. So here also, since he had a shasa kaisher, so therefore we don't consider him someone that cannot be l'hokum la'och of shame, even though now he can't because he's been castrated, but he's still considered a category of someone since he had a moment of kashras. It actually will help us for both halachas. One is that he applies for the mess as lo yimachesh shmoy miyisrael, and also additionally regarding as a yavam, he can do chalitza because he's considered lo hakam lo chav shem, even though essentially in both halachas, now when the time of death, he's not able to have children, doesn't make a difference since there was a shasa kaisher, he is included in both categories. Now however, sris chama, however regarding someone that was born like this, then lo yichaylitz lo yichasl ishtay, then he cannot do chalitza and neither can they do chalitza to his wife. Because he never had a time that he was viable, and therefore he wasn't that it should be lo yemachash my Yisrael, because he was already anyways erased because he was never able to have children. And neither is lo hakum lachav shame, because he can never have fathered his brother's wife to have children because he was born like that. That's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Eliezer says lo yiki. No, that's not the case. Actually, it's the other way around. Elisris chama, someone that was born this way, then chaylitz vecholtzin leishtai. Then he could do chalitza, and they could do chalitza to his wife when he dies. Now, actually, the truth is that they could even do yibum, and the reason is because he's not even a petsua daka. The halacha is of the Torah that makes it forbidden is only by the case of sris adam, not sris chama. So again, the halacha really is that even they would be able to even do yibum, and again, the reason is b'nei sheyesh lerefuah, because someone that's born like that, no act of mutilation was done to his aver, he could be healed. And therefore, he's considered someone that is lo yimachash my Yisrael. He could still maybe have children, even though he's born like that. And moreover, he could maybe be lohakum lohakum shem. Besris Adam, if something, an act of man was done, then lo yichaylit v'lo yichotzen l'ishtar. M'nei she'en l'rifu, because then he can't be healed once something was done to damage it. Now, however, hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira said testimony al ben Magusis regarding this person ben Magusis shayi b'Yerushalayim, who he was a sris adam, he was castrated, he was made sterile after he was born, v'yibmu es ishtay, and they did yibum to his wife when he died without any children. Now, the purpose of this edus of Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira was a testimony l'kayim de Rabbi Kiva, which obviously supports Rabbi Kiva's opinion, who he says that Sris Adam is the one that chaylitz b'chotzen l'ishtay, and as we said, actually, it's more than chotzen l'ishtay, it's even miyam l'ishtay, like this incident, and not like Rabbi Elazar, who he said that then you're not allowed to do, it's only by sris chama. Now the Mishnah continues and says that hasris, as we said, regarding either opinion, according to Rabbi Kiva or according to Rabbi Elazar, loy chaylitz b'loy miyam. You cannot do chalitza, and you cannot do, moreover, yibum. Again, as we said, he cannot fulfill the halacha of the hakim shame, which again, according to either opinion respectively, which one is the one that is not included in the halacha of yibum chalitza. And the same thing b'chein, the same thing is by the other one, by female, by an islandess, which that's a woman that doesn't have the characteristics of a woman that could that can have a child. Loi chalitza zuv loi misabemes. Neither can you do chalitza or teyibim, as the Gemara elsewhere had darshan from Asher Talit. So although they share the same halachas of sris and islandess, one male, one female, actually the male is from the halach of lahakim shem, and therefore he cannot do chalitza yibim because he cannot go ahead and build his brother. And the islandess, although it's also for the same idea that she cannot have a child, it's based on the pasuk actually of Asher Talit, you have to be able to have a child. If you can't, then the brothers can't do yibim. Now because of this, the Mishnah says, so therefore hasris shecholz livimta, if hasris does do chalitza to the yavama, well then lay pasla. He does not have validated her from kahuna, where although a chalitza is usually forbidden to kahuna, because his chalitza is not a chalitza. He doesn't even enter the parsha of doing chalitza. He's not lahokim shem. However, ba'ala, if he does bia with her, he does, so to speak, yibum, well then pasla, he hasn't validated her, mimneshi bi'la znus, because it's actually not a yibum, it's just an act of znus, because she's considered an eishasach, shalei b'makim mitzvah. Since he can't do the mitzvah, he's not lahakim shame, so it's a regular brother's wife, which is a chi of karis, and therefore a woman that is baal with a man that's pasala makes her into a zayna. V'chein islandess, same thing goes regarding an islandess. Shechotz la'achen, if the brothers do chalitza, lo yipaslu, they have not invalidated from kahuna, because they're not doing anything, she's not in the parish of yibum b'chla. But b'olua, if they have bia with her, then paslu, then they invalidate her from kahuna. They should be lost a bila's nos, because her bia is a bia's nos. They're considered aishas ach, and therefore that's going to be a bia basula that makes her pasul kahuna. Now the Gemara asked regarding the first opinion mentioned on Mishnah and how to define your Yeshua's quandary, which one was the sris that could do chalitza and cholzen and which was not, was the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Kiva said that a sris adam, which means to say that he wasn't born like that, but it happened later that he became sterile, is the one that chaylitz b'chotzen l'ishtoy, whereas the sris chama cannot. On that, the Gemara asks Mechti, but let's see. Shemin Rabbi Kiva de Amar. We have heard already Rabbi Kiva that says, it's mentioned many times in this Masechta, chiva lavid kechiva krisa dama. That is, those which are prohibited based on just a negative prohibition have the same characteristics according to Rabbi Kiva as those which have a punishment of karis. As Rabbi Kiva says in the Mem Tesimet Alf, that generally we say mamzer is only from chiva krisa. Kiva says, Mamzer is from Chiva Lav, and he equates Chiva Lav with Chiva Krisis. Now, Sris Adam is one of those tchiv alavin. As we mentioned before, it says a pasuk in Devarim Chav Gimel, lo yavei betzua daka. A betzua daka is prohibited on a negative prohibition to have bia with any Jewish woman. Now, v'chiv increases lav b'nei chalitza b'yibninu. So if we're saying that a chiv alavin, which is what sris adam, is the same as chiv increases, now we know, based on the limit we have from chayis ishtoi, the chiva krisis are not in the category of having chalitza and yibam. Therefore, the question is, how could Rabbi Kiva had said that a stris adam could do chalitza to his brother's wife, but there's no chalitza yibam over here? He's considered not even in the parish of yibam chalitza, like all chiva krisis, and therefore there's an isra eshasach, so how could he say that chalitz, he could do chalitza to his brother's wife? So Amr Bami, based on this question, Bami actually qualifies and he says, "Hachmayeskina." What we're talking about over here is a specific case. We're talking about that the Sris Adam's brother, who died without any children, was married to a female convert. Now, moreover, Rabbi Kiva Sovla Kreb Yesi, the Amr Kahal Gerim Lo Ikri Kal, he considers Gerim not as part of the Kehillah of the Jewish people. Therefore, someone that's forbidden to marry to the Kehillah, which is what a Sris Adam is allowed to marry a Geyeris, because they're not part of the Kehillah. And therefore, that's how a Sris Adam, who again, there's two different categories. There's one about the Kehillah of the Jewish people, and then there's one case specific to Yibam Chalitza. Rabbi Kiva holds, since this was a Shas HaKeisha, but a Sris Adam, he could do Yibam Chalitza. He's considered Lahakim Lachim Shem. But then the question was, forget about that, but just based on the general halacha of you can't marry any Jewish woman, so therefore it's like a chiva krisis, because chiva lavin is like chiva krisis, which is layova petzua daka. So he asked, so therefore that shouldn't make him bechlal in the parasha of Yibam Chalitza. So we're saying that no, the lav of layova petzua daka does not apply in this case, because the wife here is a geyeris, she's not kal Hashem, and therefore he could have married her. And in this case, at least he could do chalitza because she is in the parasha of Yibam Chalitza. Well, then the Gemara asks, Ihach Yibam Min HaMayam. So then, let him even do Yibam. What's wrong? What's the problem? You're saying he's considered L'Hakum L'Hakum Shem. Well, if that's the case, and she's a Giyaris, so there's no problem of L'Yibam Petzul Daka, so why can't he do full-fledged Yibam? Not just chalitza. So the Gemara says, in the Chalami. You're right, the truth is, according to Rabbi Kiva, he could even do Yibam. But for I did Amri Bishua Chalitz, but since Rabbi Yeshua, who he was the one that presented this problem, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have to say that the Sris Adam cannot do Yibam, because actually Rabbi Yeshua holds that Kahal Gerim is called a Kahal. Now, however, but Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you could do Chalitza, because Chiv Olavim, according to Rabbi Yeshua, are B'nai Chalitza. So Amr Iyonama Chalitz, so therefore Rabbi Kiva also conceded, and he said Chalitz, but the truth is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's going to be Chalitza for a different reason. Because you can't do Yibam because it's considered Kahal, and moreover, Rabbi Yeshua does not equate Chiv Olavin as problematic for not being B'nai Yibam, but therefore, since Rabbi Kiva was coming to explain to Rabbi Yeshua, he also said Chalitza, but the truth is, he could have said just as easily, according to his own opinion, that you could do Yibam too. Now the Gemara says, Dekinami, actually, it seems to be indicative that Rabbi Kiva would hold that you could even do Yibam, not just Chalitza. They tell like, learn our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said later on, "Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Maseira al ben Magusa shoy b'Yerushalayim." That was a Sris Adam. The Yibmu es Ishtoi, and they did Yibm to his wife, which the Mishnah said that was Lakayim de Rabbi Kiva. So Shmami no, obviously you see that although the Mishnah said that you're chaylitz in such a case when we're talking about a Sris Adam, whether it's talking about him doing chalitza or them doing chalitza to his wife, which obviously the Mefarshim point out, this case is different than what we're discussing. But the primary point is that you see, although Rabbi Kiva uses the terminology of chalitzin mechalitzin le'ishtai, obviously the terminology chalitzin is lavdavka, is not necessarily, because we see that the Mishnah itself later on says Rabbi Kiva's opinion was supported by them doing yibam to his wife, same thing would apply for himself doing for his brother's wife. Then not only could he do chalitza, but he could even do yibam. He only says chalitzin because of Yeshua's opinion, who holds that you cannot do yibam in such a case. Now, however, the Gemara continues, Masav Rabba. Rabba asks on this teretz of the Gemara, where Rabbi Ami qualified this halacha of Rabbi Kiva allowing a sris adam to do chalitza, which the Gemara answered essentially would be even yibam, only by the case of a giyaris, but by a regular woman, which is from the Kehillah of the Jewish people, then he would actually agree that you cannot do chalitza, because chiva lavin is kechiva krisis, and chiva krisis is not in the parasha of chalitza. But then Rabbah asks from the following brisa. Brisa says, "Petzua dako okrei shafchum," someone that with crushed testicles or with a severed member, who sris adam. Now, as Rashi points out, this is coming according to Rabbi Kiva, who only according to Rabbi Kiva, he qualifies as sris adam as the category that since, as he says in our Mishnah, that there was a shasa kosh, he wasn't born this way. It only happened later on that his testicles were crushed or that his, that we became a kreish shafcha. So therefore the Mishnah, as the Braisa will conclude, that's why the halacha of the Braisa will be as it is. Or v'hazakan, someone that's an elderly man, where it's mentioned together with these cases to say also that he had a shasa kosher, at one point in time he was sterile, although now he's not able to have children anymore. Eicholtzin, Amiyab, in all these cases, they could do either chalitza or they could do yib. Now, on that device, ask Ketzat, what's the case talking about? Let's say Mesu, let's say these individuals, the Ptsuadaka, Kore Shavcho, or the elderly person, if they died, but Lehem Noshim, Lehem Achim, they had wives and they had brothers, and they died without any children. So, V'amdu Achin, V'asu Maimer, B'neshasen. So, if their brothers come and do Maimer in their wives, or V'nosnu Get, where they give them a get, or Shachotzu, they do Chalitza. So, Masha also, what they did is done. And if they, let's say, gave a mimer, you would need a get for the mimer. Or if they get a get, then you wouldn't be able to do yibim anymore. And vibolukanu, if they did bia, if the brothers did bia to this sris adam or the zakan, then that would acquire them as a yavama. Now let's say the other way around. Let's say meso achan. Let's say this elderly man or the sris adam's brothers died. Vamdu hein, and then these individuals, the sris adam or the zakan, got up and they were v'asa mimer b'neshasein. They did maimer in those brothers' wives, or v'nasnu get, or they gave a get, or yichaltzu, or they did a chalitza. Masha asa, what was done was valid in halacha. V'imbalu kanu, and if they did bia, then they acquired the wives, but v'asu l'kaiman, which Rashi obviously points out is not going on the elderly man, because there's no such iser. But regarding the sris adam, which is the petzua daka and the kreish shavcha, it's forbidden to remain married, although in halacha is in the context of yim chalitza. That's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. They are considered lahakim lach of shame, but you can't hold on to them. Mishum shenemar, because that's for a different halach, as we pointed out previously from the pasuk that says lo yavei betzua daka kori shavcha bekal Hashem, that they cannot marry someone that's from the kehillah of the Jewish people. So though yibumly speakingly and chalitza speakingly, it is considered valid, but regarding a different halach of marrying a Jewish woman, for that it's forbidden. Now, on that is where Rabbi concludes his question, but Alma, one thing we see is that we're talking about a woman that's bekalas yinan, that's considered part of the kehillah of the Jewish people. And that's why the pasuk is saying that you cannot stay married to this woman that is your yavama, because you're a petzua daka, and the petzua daka cannot be yavama bekal Hashem. However, in spite of that fact, as we pointed out, this is going like Rabbi Kiva, who equates Sris Adam with those who could do Yim Chalitz, and still he's saying that Cholzin, even though we're talking about a woman that is part of the Kila, not a Giyaris. But then we're back to the question, the original question, but according to Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Chiva Lavin should be just like Chiva Krisis, and how is he saying that you could do Chalitza or Yibum, and not just that you can't be Mekayman, you shouldn't be able to do Chalitza in the first place? So Elam Rabbi, rather Rabbi gives a different approach. He says, Kagun Shinafalai, we're talking about that if she falls to him and becomes Zokuk to Yibum, and he was a regular sterile man, Ulab Saif Nifza. And then later at a point in time, he becomes a Batsua Daka. We now she needs Chalitza, can't do Yibum because he's a Batsua Daka, but she needs Chalitza to remove the Zika that already was Chal. The Zika starts the moment of his brother's death, and then he wasn't yet Batsua Daka. Then a few hours later, a few days later, something happens and he becomes a Batsua Daka. So the Zika is already there. So that's why, in such a case, you're going to have Chalitza, and he is included in the parasha of Chalitza because of that original Zika. On that, I'm like, Abaya asks, what do you mean? Belasi Isra Petzua, if that's the case, then let the Isra Petzua, which, yes, it's happening a day later, a few days later, a few weeks later, but let that Isra come, v'nitchi ase de Yibum, and reject the positive commandment of Yibum. In other words, you're saying that, look, there's a Zika already. Although now he becomes a Petzua Daka, which, yes, that's like Chiva Lavin, which like Chiva Krisis, and there's no more Yibum Chalitza, but that's only to make it not start. But once the Zika started already, then we have to take care of it in some way, and therefore do Chalitza. And that Abai says that's not true. Because Milei Tanan, didn't we learn the Mishnah Daf Kof Tesim and Aleph and Perek B'Shamai, talks about a case of a Gedoila, an adult woman that falls in front of, her husband died without any children, Now, her husband's brother was married to her younger sister that was still a minor. Now, a minor's marriage is only rabbinically valid. Biblically, it's not considered married at all. So therefore, according to biblical halacha, there's still a zika for her brother-in-law to do yibum to her. And although there's the sister, that's a rabbinic problem. So what to do about it? The Mishnah there brings it. He says, im miyana miyana. Look, if the minor sister does miyun, which is a way of retroactively rejecting the marriage that she had up until now with the yavam, well, and so be it. And then he can go ahead and do yibum to the adult woman, which is falling from his brother, which is a biblical halacha, which actually has a zika. But vim lav, if the minor girl doesn't want her, she's seven, and she says, no, I want to stay married to him. I know my oldest sister has a mitzvah of yibum, but I don't want to leave this marriage. Then tamtina shetagdol, then they wait up until then when the minor girl becomes an adult. Then v'teitzah luzu mishum achayisisha. So then she's an adult, and then it's already a biblical marriage once they have bia after she's an adult. So now the yavama gets removed automatically because she's now achayisishtai, and therefore there's no yibum with his wife, who the minor became an adult now. It's his wife's sister, and there's no mitzvah yibum for the wife's sister. That's what the Mishnah says over there. But one thing Abaye proves from there, Almo osi israchis isha v'dochi, what we see is that you can have, although at the time of the nefilas yibum, this woman, this adult woman, was fit for yibum, and there was a biblical zika, in spite of that, even though his wife at that time was a minor, and therefore that wasn't interfering with the thing, you could have a later achis isha come and remove the yibum without having to take care of the zika. I'm doing the chalitza at that point. So hachinami neisi iser petzuv v'nitzchis. Abaye says, so the same thing here also. Even if you say that he only became tzudaka later on, sometime during when she's a shemeres yavam, it doesn't make a difference. Just like you see over there, that the achis isha will say, it's already over. You don't have to take care of any zikas. There's no mitzvah yibum by default because she already became a achis isha. Here also, although it's happening later, even though both cases there was a zika b'shas nefila, and therefore here also you should say that petzuah daka, that's like chiv olam, which is like chiv increases, there's no mitzvah yibum chalitza. Okay, forget about it. And therefore, it still wouldn't answer why B'kiva says that you're chalitzin, there wouldn't be any chalitzin even in such a case. So Ela Amar V'Yesev. Rather, V'Yesev says a different approach. He says, actually, Tomat, that he was ready to petzuah daka from beforehand, and then she forced him for yibum. Now, the question that was asked, but according to B'kiva, the chiv olam is like chiv increases, it shouldn't be in the yibum chalitza at all. That Rav Yisuf says that Hai Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, is going because there's many different interpretations in Rav Kiva's opinion in who is considered this. Rav Kiva is the most stringent in regards to equating for Kedusha not being typhus and making the child into a mamzer and saying that like Chiva Krisis. The opinion of our Mishnah is like Hach Tana Debei Rav Kiva. It's like that opinion of the Yeshiva Rav Kiva, where the Amar that this Tana says, and it's brought on Daf Mem Tesem and Aleph, that who is considered a mamzer? It's only mechiv alav and disha'er. Although Rabbi Kiva is on record as saying that it could even be from a negative prohibition, but this Tana qualifies it only if it's a negative prohibition through relationship, meaning that it's a relative. Then have a mamzer. Then the child of such a forbidden union will be a mamzer. But mechiv alav and gredi loy have a mamzer. But just from a generic negative prohibition, that is, We would not say, where there it's Isra of Lo Yavoy, there we're not going to say that the child is going to be a mamzer, and therefore, it is B'nei Yibim B'chalitzin Nino. It's only by someone that is qualified the same as a Chiva Krisis, which that's what we learn from Achis Isha, which that's what creates a child a mamzer. But this Tanoik opinion holds not like Rib Simoy, who he says in Masechtas Ksubis, that Rebbe Kiva made every forbidden relationship the child a mamzer, except for Amal Kohen Gadol, because the Torah says Lo Yikach V'Lichal, that the child will not be a mamzer, rather will be a chol. But from ol chiv alavin, even if it's not through relationship, the child is going to be a mamzer. This time the hole's not like that, and therefore it's possible to have a regular Jewish woman, where although, yes, it's a chiv alavin, and seemingly Rebbe Kiva makes chiv alavin like chiv increases, it's not true. This time the hole's not every chiv alavin, it's ol chiv alavin de she'er, and here we're talking about a generic chiv alavin, which is petzuah daka. He's forbidden to every Jewish woman, not because it's his relative, it's not his mother or his sister or something like that, and therefore that actually would not make a child a mamzer, hence it would not make it totally excluded from the parasha of Yibum Chalitza, and that's why our Mishnah could even be in Rebbe Kiva of Sris Adam, who's a Betzua Daka, that could do Chalitza. Now, that the Gemara asked, but why is it that a Swiss could do chalitza? And that is, even as Rabbi Kiva says in our Mishnah, that, oh, because he has a Shas HaKoshah, there was a time that it was viable, only later on in life that an incident happened that he became sterile. But a Ikri Kam, but you have a basic question. The Pasuk says, as a qualifier, for who could do Yibum, is Lahakim La'achim Shem. The purpose is to erect a name for the brother that died without any children. You want to father other children from his wife. But V'hol Lav Bar Hochihu, this risks Adam, even if he had a Shas HaKoshah, fine. But who cares? Right now, could he father children? No. So then how could he be a Yavam? To even say, good, even if he can't do Yibam because he's not allowed to marry any Jewish woman because of Petzua Daka, but he shouldn't even be able to do Chalitza because he's not even Oila in the whole parasha at all. He's not Lachim Lachim Shem. Now, Amar Rava, Rava answers that question by saying that Imken, if you'd be right, that Rabbi Kiva's criteria of that if there was one's viability wouldn't be relevant, since at the time of death he's not able to have children, whether he's the Miyabim or whether he's the one that died, that we define it on the time of death, is it Lo Yamach Hashem Yisrael? When he died, was he able to have children? This Yavim right now, could he do Yibim or not? If it wouldn't make a difference based on past history, well, then Ein Lacha Isha K'sher L'Yavim, then you would never have any woman that would be able to have Yibim Dantar. Because you wouldn't have any woman, Shloi Nasa Bai L'Sriz Chama, Sho'achas K'ed M'sasai. You would never have any woman that her husband, one moment before he dies, because of the pains of death, they weaken him. And that would make him unable to have any children. Hence, he wouldn't be included in the Pasuk of Le'yimoch HaShem Yisrael, because before he died, he was already not able to have children anyway, so his name not being erased by not having someone do Yibim, he was erased by himself. Rather, what you say is, that since originally in his prime, he was able to have children, so she is a Bas Chalitza. It is included in Le'yimoch HaShem Yisrael. And therefore, here also, regarding Lahakim Lahakim Shame, you also say that there's no difference, even though right now he cannot have any children, but still, originally he was, before this incident happened, so therefore, you're able to say that he's included in Lahakim Lahakim Shame. And he's basing it on this logic, because or else, if it had to be at the moment of death, again, both, as we had made this comparison earlier with the Mefarshim point out, regarding the brother that died, and the brother that's doing Yibum, where again, as in the previous discussion, are two different criterias. One's as Lo Yamoch HaShem Yisrael, and one's of Lachim Lachim Shem. But the point the Gemara is pointing out is that you obviously can't say it's just based on the moment of death, meaning which is the time of the one that died, and for the brother doing Yibum. Because if it would be, then the brother that's dying would not be making his wife a Bas Chalitza, because he's not Lo Yamoch HaShem Yisrael, because he wasn't able to have children anyway, just like a Sris. And then the same thing would apply to the Yavam. So we're saying that no, just like over there, doesn't depend on the time of death, but rather at least earlier he was able to. Here also, even though now he can't father any children, the Yavam, but since earlier he was able to, he had a Shas HaKoshah, so therefore he could do Yibum. Now, obviously he can't do Yibum because he's a Petzua Daka, but he could do Chalitza. Now, therefore the Gemara asked, that seems to be such a good logic, that as Rava just pointed out, so Rabbi Eliezer, Peruka de Rava Pirchi, what Rava just explained for Rabbi Kiva seems to be a very good taina against Rabbi Eliezer. Because we definitely see, like Rava's logic, from every person that dies, that obviously the concept of Shasa Kaisher is a primary element, because every person, right when they die, are going to be sterile on some level. Now, therefore the question then becomes, why did Rabbi Eliezer say that a Sris Adam cannot do Chalitza, that it doesn't help the Shas HaKoshah that he had earlier? What do you mean? When a person becomes, so to speak, castrated when he's dying, there's no refuah for such a person. And then that was Reblez's whole criteria of allowing someone, even though they're sterile now, was because Yeshli refuah, which was his criteria for Sris Chama. You don't have to by someone that's about to die. And yet still, as Rava pointed out, we do Yibim to every woman from any person that dies because of the Shas HaKoshah that originally had. So why don't you say the same thing as Rav is pointing out to explain Rabbi Kiva, which is a difficulty contra Rabbi Eliezer, for every Sris Adam? And that the Gemara says no. Rav's logic is not conclusive, and that's where Rabbi Eliezer argues on that. Because the raya from a person that dies is not a raya. Hasam k'chishusa daschilabe. The person is not considered a Sris when he's dying. He's still included in the pasuk of Le'yimoch HaShem Yisrael, because all death does, it makes him weak, but it doesn't make him into a sris. And therefore, yes, every woman when her husband dies is still a bas chalitza, that it shouldn't be Yimoch HaShem Yisrael. because he's only weak, but he's not a sris. And therefore, yes, the moment of the definition will be the moment of death, and he's not a sris, and therefore there's no right to say that the same thing would apply to a sris Adam, who right now is not able to have. And if he's not able to have, so then Rabbi Elazar holds in, since he's ein lo refuah, then you cannot go ahead and be a yavim to be considered l'hakam l'hakam shame. It's only a sris cham, according to Rabbi Elazar, that although he's born like that, but could be healed, and therefore he is the one that is, which Rabbi Shu wasn't sure about, that is such a sritz, that is chaltzin, b'chaltzin le'ishtai.